What is up, guys? Altered State Podcast, Brandon and John, episode 75.
75. Ryan Reeves.
Ryan Reeves.
Naturally.
Works. I was going to go with
the
Reaver. Little Mean Joe Green.
Ooh.
Little Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
That's the only one I know.
We got Mean Joe Green. We got the Grim Reaver. You know, 75 is a very angry number.
It is apparently. A very angry kind of guy. You pick 75, you've been passed over a lot.
Yeah.
So you're
you got a bit of a chip on your shoulder.
That's right. That's
you got
right.
a bit of a chip. Speaking of sports,
please.
The one sports thing I want to bring up
Quidditch?
This time. Well, naturally, on brand.
Yeah.
Have you looked at, this is also, you know, this plays into the design nerd in me. Have you seen the NHL reverse retro jerseys?
I've seen the Blues and the the Avalanche. That's all I saw, I think. I didn't go deep dive.
So yeah, anyone listening to this, obviously, you know, I'm a bit of a design nerd. I tend to geek out on that kind of shit. And especially, like, jersey design is of particular interest mm-hmm. to me. That Blues one,
it's a little too red.
It's a bit of a
liking.
Miss for me.
Yeah.
I
would have liked, I say go all in on the gold. Make that red all gold.
I think that would have been cool. But I have two thoughts with it. Because I look at it, I was like, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But heavy on the red. And you have a lot of Blues fans that are also Cardinals fans.
I get it.
Okay, so there's a little crossover there. And then there's also the part of me that's like, the next time there is a Winter Classic, the Blues will be in it.
Sure.
And they will get an alternative jersey that's like super traditional out
right.
of that.
Right.
So to take this alternate and be like the opposite of traditional, since you get you essentially get a redo next year.
Right.
You get a free...
See what they liked and...
Right. right. You yeah. get a free super traditional... Throwback.
I'm just knowing you, I'm anything with the horns, I know you're digging
that. That's what but that was the other thing is I was gonna say. I feel like it's a missed opportunity
yeah.
to not make the horn trumpet the trumpet patch
now, were they
the main
the,
crest.
They were on the side, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was the only sweater that ever had that. Like yeah. on the traditional retro it had that.
Yep.
Or the traditional 90s it had that. And then now on the reverse retro, it's like this would be the time to use that as the main crest. Yep.
I think
that would have been fucking cool.
Where the Blues, I don't want to say fall short, but this I think they have disadvantage when it comes to jerseys like that, mm-hmm. is they've always been the Blues.
Right.
You can't, you know, fall back, oh, let's do a Whalers type version, or let's
yeah.
do, you know what I mean, or something along those lines, if a team has a little history in that city. Which, don't get me wrong, I'm glad the Blues have always been the Blues. I wouldn't
right.
want, you know, I'm not going to say I don't want an expansion team, because if we ever get anything else here, it'll be probably an expansion team. But... it's just different.
I also think it's the blessing and the curse that really befalls both the Blues and Cardinals. And I'm going to sound biased, but I promise I'm not in this case. I mean, I am.
Sure.
But I'm not when it comes to this. Objectively, the Cardinals and the Blues have two of the best crests in their sport.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like unanimously known.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Blues, like that blue note is
right.
top four or five crests in the NHL.
Sure.
The birds on the bat is top four or five crests in,
sure.
in,
always, yep.
In Major League Baseball, which then means you don't really get the freedom to explore.
Right.
Whereas you have other teams that have done a number of rebrands over and over again
right.
because they've never had anything that's like that iconic
right.
and that unique.
Right. You might get that chance to explore, but you're never going to nail it like you did with the birds on the bat. Or,
right.
You know what I mean? It's just not going to, people, for whatever reason, just
there's it's one of those things like, and it's a blessing and a curse. Because
yep.
like when you get these alternates,
right.
it's like, oh man, I'd like something different. But then it's also like, but you
can't do it.
You fucking can't.
Because right.
the blue note is so dope. It's the same thing with the bird. Like every time the birds do something, it's like, it's really just a different color.
Right.
but it's
right.
like the birds on the bat
right.
is there.
Right.
It's going nowhere.
That's right. Before we get too deep, I know it sounds cheesy, but I want to dedicate this one to my dog.
Hey.
I lost my dog
cheesy about
a couple
it.
Days ago. Brody. And it relates to the podcast because he's named after a Kevin Smith movie.
Mm-hmm.
From a Kevin Smith movie. Brody was 12. He was bulldog. He was the shit. He was my best buddy.
He was a good dog.
And it sucks without him. But other than that, I'm not going to dwell too much on the podcast.
Oh, man.
Because I don't want to get too sad.
Yeah.
It's been a rough few days. It's been a rough few days.
I bet, man.
But
that sucks.
I'm glad I got things like this to distract me and to you know, remind me that there's still a lot of good shit going on.
Hell yeah.
So we got some cool stuff to talk about this week.
Especially this week.
Damn right. Surprisingly.
Right?
It's like the first week since quarantine where stuff's starting to kind of happen.
Right? And it's weird because it's like, oh, we're starting to get news, but as the world's shutting back down.
No kidding. No kidding.
You know, that's how I feel right now. It's just like, I was talking to Libby today. We're 2 weeks out from my birthday. And like, this is normally the time we'd be like, hey, what do you want to do? You know, right. Let's go. And then like, typically I always do the Cherokee Print Bazaar is my favorite event of the year. I was like, well, that's not happening. Nope. I was like, well, we can't really leave the house because we're responsible people. Like, you know, we're not out just living crazy.
Right.
So it's just having like, oh, man, the world really is shutting back down. Right. Son of a bitch. Right.
So where do you want to order in from?
Right.
That's basically it.
Right. Yep. Well, the Olivia was like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I think I just want to go do a podcast like it's a regular Sunday.
Right.
And I mean, like, I'm 33. It's not like it's a big birthday. You know, it's not like I'm turning 30 or turning 40.
No, I was, you know, I had my birthday was in April, so everything had just started shutting down then. And, you know, 42 is not a big deal. But you're like, well, wait, I want to do something. What the fuck? I
see some of my friends.
And it's really just like.
So I felt bad for Libby. Her birthday is the end of March.
Oh, yeah.
And she turned 30 this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we were totally shut down.
Well, I felt bad. Yeah. You know, my son turned 21. I'm like, right. Oh, that's rough.
Right.
Can't
that's
do much.
Fucking brutal.
I don't feel too bad for him.
He's doing fine.
He's doing all right. He's doing all right. So where do you feel like starting? You want to start with a little...
So,
we got some Mandalorian. We got some Wonder Woman. We got some
I think
Deadpool.
We've got a few... At least I've got a few things in the Star Wars universe.
Let's get to it. Let's do
it. So I feel like we jump into the Star Wars universe, but I feel like the natural place to begin... Well, you know what? The natural place to begin isn't Mando this time. Did you watch the Life Day special?
I didn't, only because... I wanted to save it for, like, Thanksgiving.
Fair enough.
I wasn't ready for Christmas, and I'm like, give it me till day of Thanksgiving, I'm good. I can start celebrating Christmas.
Okay.
But then I plan on watching it multiple times. I've heard it's very good.
It is very fun, and it is the first Star Wars thing that, like, my kids actually love.
Oh, nice.
So that Tuesday that it came out, I was like, yeah, man, I was all excited. Like, after dinner, I'm going to watch it with the kids. It'll be a fun thing to do together. And we've watched it every day since, more because they want to watch it than me.
Oh, awesome.
You know, like, they keep asking for it. I'm like, okay. It is so cute.
Good.
It's funny.
Good.
It pokes fun at all the right things. It's one of those things where it's like, maybe it could have been better, but, like, it does exactly what
doesn't
I want
need
it to
be.
Do.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun.
Right.
It is pure unadulterated fucking goofiness.
I've really only heard good things about it. I haven't heard anybody shit on it, you know, as far as
there's nothing there to shit on.
That's what I figured.
But what I do hope is that it opens the door to do more Star Wars holiday specials.
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Just be like one, I fucking love I love Star Wars, sure. Obviously. But I fucking love holiday specials.
Yeah.
Like, I miss the network TV holiday special. Like, as a kid, I looked forward to that shit like crazy. Oh. I feel like we don't get them anymore.
When I was a kid, the best part of the holidays was, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer claymation. Mm-hmm. Frosty's going to be on multiple times. Now you're lucky if you get it. Now it's usually on like 2 weeks after or a week after Thanksgiving, and that's it.
Right.
It's not even on close to Christmas. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
What is going on?
Of course, you know. I love Elf. That's on a continuous loop now, right. from now until New Year's. But at the same time, I don't love it 24 hours a day.
Right.
You know, and there's so much out there that you could just...
Well, and like, I totally love just fun holiday goofiness, right?
Right.
So any sort of special that's going to land between 25 and 45 minutes and make me smile and be fucking cute and fun and charming, and it feels like... Netflix and Disney Plus and the streamers are the places for that to go. Like when they did the Bill Murray Christmas a couple years ago, really fucking fun. Yep. Like, give me more of that.
I loved, it's, you know, probably 15 years old now or more, but like Dennis Leary had a random like Comedy Central, you know, stupid little like Merry fucking Christmas type special.
Yeah.
Love that kind of shit, but it's just a one-off. You might watch it 2 years in a row, but you really don't watch it after that because it doesn't, you know, track well. And it's just, but it's great. It has like the celebrities of the time on there.
Doesn't cost shit.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like when in watching that, I was like, I need Star Wars Holiday Special every year.
Wouldn't surprise me if you get multiple.
You know, like, I don't care if it's an animated thing or a Lego thing or how much fun it would be if they did a live action, like, variety show style, sure. like the old one.
Yeah.
Because that would be fun. That's and funny. Just have, like, a bunch of the actors in. Don't, like, I think the one thing that, I don't think it's a problem. I understand why they did it, but, like, this actually fits in the Star Wars right. timeline.
Right.
Like, it's not adding anything to the canon, but, like, right. they chose a specific time to do it. And I'm like, I just want to see a fucking variety show.
Sure,
like,
right.
give me, I want you to bring Mark Hamill and fuck it, just any
you get person. Billy D will do it.
Right. Yeah. Like, Billy D did this.
Right, right.
But get me any person that's ever been in Star Wars.
Anthony Daniels will sign up for any of it.
Right. Yeah. And just put him in the cantina and make it a thing that exists outside of time and space. Yeah. Like, it's in the world between worlds.
Yes, absolutely.
Whatever.
Start using that. Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah. Like, just let's just have some fun. That's what this one has. It's a real cute, like, there's a time travel component to mm-hmm. it. So just, like, enters through every different part of the saga.
Sure.
And it kind of peeks in on these different relationships that are just really fun.
I like it. I like, yeah, the concept. I really didn't know much of the concept. And I didn't really want to watch reviews or spoilers, but the little pieces I've taken out of articles is basically what you've said. You know, it kind of plays with the time travel idea. Uh-huh. That whole time, or space between time, whatever that thing they did in Clone Rebels. Wars or Rebels and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with that aspect of it. But it sounds like a great idea and so much fun
right.
to do that with those characters. It's
fucking adorable.
Yeah. In that kind of, you know, cartoony way.
Right. So, it is yeah. absolutely adorable.
Yeah. I mean, if I was a kid and I was getting Star Wars holiday specials every year, Christmas just got better again.
I mean, an now adult. You're looking forward. Right? And if I get it every year, I'm like,
that's what I'm saying. Yes. Right. That's true. Just imagine if you were a kid and it just happened. You don't even, you know, now we're digging through stuff and in January, this is coming out in 2 years on Christmas. It's going to be fantastic.
Right.
When you're a kid, it just fucking showed up.
Yeah.
And it was the best thing ever.
And
like,
yeah.
boom.
And it was like, there might have been an ad for it a week before.
Right.
We're
right.
like, wait, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm guessing then that means you watched Mandalorian.
Oh, the instant I woke up.
I do the same thing. Yep. I can't even really wait until later in the day. It's pretty much 7 a.m. and it's on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wake. It's like, I'll get up as soon as the girls go out. As soon as I put the girls in the car, in Libby's car to take them to school, I walk in the kitchen, I pour my cup of coffee, and I walk straight to the couch. Nice. I turn off the lights. I close the blinds. Fantastic. I make it as...
Yep.
theatrical as possible.
And I dug the episode. Was it the best one? No, but it's still a great episode.
I loved this episode.
I liked it a lot. You know what I just realized?
Huh.
I didn't even realize until the end of that episode that the blue guy is Horatio Sanz.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Ah.
That was, he opened up the fucking show,
yeah.
and I had no idea that was Horatio Sanz. Maybe I did, and I just didn't put it together, but I was too obsessed with Brian Posehn,
and that's right.
probably the first time, so.
Well, like, going into it, I think because knowing Filoni had next week, so I was like, right. okay, this isn't gonna be on Corvus, so like we're not gonna get to Ahsoka today, mm-hmm. so that was already out of my expectations. Knowing Carl Weathers directed this, okay, this is gonna be where Cara Dune and Greef Karga return,
fight Rocky Balboa.
So we're going to Navarro. Yep. Okay, so in my head I was kind of geared up for a little bit more like kind of adventure of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing played out kind of adventure of the weeky, which was right. like, okay, this is right. what I was expecting. This is fine. But it really, it engaged with the overall story
mm-hmm.
in a way that I somehow kind of forgot, like a storyline that I kind of forgot. Like
from the very beginning, basically.
Right.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like you, after they introduce Yoda or the child rather, mm-hmm. And then like, yeah, it ends with your learning about Moff Gideon and knowing Moff Gideon wants the child. And you know that there's cloners involved to some degree, but then like you all of a sudden get distracted by all the shiny things
right.
like Tatooine and Boba Fett and Darksabers
right.
and Ahsoka and all of these other things that you get really excited about. And then when they went back to that base and it's like, oh, wait a minute. This is a cloning operation.
Right.
But now you have the history of Rise of Skywalker. So it's like, oh, this is them creating the Palpatine clones.
Right.
And you know, they got like, oh, the M count. Yes. It's like they wouldn't even say midichlorian, yep. Which was funny to me.
Yep.
But yeah, like,
looking at those clones in the batch, whatever, that one that looks eerily like a disfigured Snoke and things yes. like that. Like, this is where this is going to, I think.
Absolutely.
Has to be.
And it's
has
like, so then it all of a sudden you're learning, like, cool. Now it's what I feel like it's doing is what it should be doing, which is exactly what Clone Wars did for the prequel trilogy, where it took all of the misses in execution
mm-hmm.
and corrected them. This is going to do that for the sequel trilogy.
Agreed.
Like, the sequel trilogy,
fill in the blanks.
Right. Like, I feel like it's deeply flawed.
Right.
I feel like it is the worst of the three trilogies. Really because they didn't decide on an overall story.
Sure.
Like, there was no real treatment there.
Right.
You know, say what you will about the prequel trilogy, but at least it's telling a first, second, and third of one story.
Yeah.
Whereas the sequel trilogies stand alone. I love Force Awakens and I really love Last Jedi. I think Rise of Skywalker is the worst of the three, but I think it's still exceptionally watchable. But they're just not telling the same story.
Right. I know what you mean.
So this is going to take those execution issues and it's like, oh, cool. Show me the birth of the First Order, which is going to make
right.
Force Awakens better.
Right.
Show me Palpatine pulling the strings, which makes his eventual return feel better.
Right.
Yeah,
and I think if nothing else, this kind of is showing the Empire never died or went away. It was always operating some right. level somewhere. You know, they may have blown up a base, but they were creating shit all over the place, man. So
right. Like, you killed their leaders.
Right.
But, you know.
Right.
They never waved a white flag.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They just lost manpower and they lost support and
they lost
political power.
Right.
In losing their political leader.
And I'm sure it's not, you know, a coincidence, but I've been watching, like, History Channel. There have been a lot of, like, Hitler type stuff on lately about uh-huh. you know he escaped and all, about whatever, but like it's the same type of narrative, you know, killed Hitler, but there were still all these guys wanting to build up the Fourth Reich.
Right.
It's exactly what the Empire was doing, and they built up the Fourth Order or the First Order. It feels like they're pretty much just like, all right, well, we don't know how this happened, just copy Nazi Germany and
right.
put it in space.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what they did in the beginning.
Right. I mean, stormtroopers. So yeah.
You know, right.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, everything about the original trilogy is like, this is existing in Nazi Germany.
Right.
Everything right. about the prequel trilogy is yeah. the rise of Hitler, man. Like, it's how do I manipulate people into going to war?
It honestly shocks me in the times we live in that, you know, some type of Hitler ancestor hasn't sued George Lucas over right. the rights to his father's life type thing. Like, you're clearly stealing my father's ideas.
Right.
Taking over the galaxy with a monster weapon.
I don't think any descendant of Hitler's is trying to... I think they're all trying to distance themselves from that name. So even if they're thinking that, they're like, nah, I'm going to let this one lie.
I don't know why this popped in my head, but it's a Mr. Show sketch. I always bring up Mr. Show because I'm a huge nerd. David Cross, Bob Odenkirk. Uh-huh. There's a scene where part of the reparations for Jewish people was they cloned a Hitler, and that got to be their slave for their life. So they had a clone Hitler that was their Mr. Belvedere kind of thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
But if the family or your owner died, the Hitler was in free to pursue their own life. So there's this bar that's nothing but like Hitler's. It's like a Hitler right. bar. It's the funniest shit. And they're like all, you know, worn down and beaten. Like, there's one Hitler that just has to like babysit all these kids and just gets like makeup drawn all over his face.
Oh,
it's
God.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Anyways, I'm sorry. I really got off topic there.
Well, I think about like, in the show, and taking the page from the Hitler book, where like that's how they got the stormtroopers in the sequel trilogy, is abducting kids. Like, do we see the fucking Palpatine youth?
Absolutely, it wouldn't surprise
you
me.
Know,
it wouldn't surprise me
in Mandalorian.
That'd be hilarious.
But like, and I also think as a standalone episode, it did its job. Like, I was totally, I love that. Like, it lingered on the look of that, like a. That technician when they were leaving, so you knew sure. that the tech was up to something.
Yep.
And then when they realized that Moff Gideon was alive, like, I genuinely thought at that moment Moff Gideon had the child. And then when Din shows up with the child. It's like, oh, okay, cool. And it's like, I forgot about that foreshadowing. And then it goes to Moff Gideon.
Right.
And, you know, right. So like they put a tracker on the ship, which then also
haven't opens seen that up, one yet.
Right. But then also it opens up like, okay, now we have like Din is going to lead Moff Gideon to Ahsoka.
Right.
So then you have this whole thing where it's like they need this high midichlorian blood count to create these clones for Palpatine.
Right.
Does that mean like, does this lead us to a place where like Ahsoka breeds Palpatine essentially? Which could be a really
right.
fucking cool storyline.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be like, oh, and they get there. Din protects the fucking child, but Moff Gideon fights Ahsoka in a lightsaber duel.
Right. It wouldn't surprise me
and
if then, we see...
And wins and get right. Ahsoka's blood it goes into the clones. Like,
I would... Because, you know, Tracker's on the ship. So when Mandalorian shows up, they're going to assume he brought Moff Gideon or whatever. Ahsoka Mandalorian fight would be fantastic as well. Before, and then they realize what's happening. You know, that whole, oh, we're on the same team.
Yeah.
Then they both go after Moff Gideon
Bo-Katan
kind of thing.
Shows up.
Absolutely, like, kind of deal. There's so much they can
you,
do.
You get
There's
a fucking so battle royal, man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You get Bo-Katan and the Night Owls. You get Din and his crew.
Right.
You get Ahsoka and whoever she's with.
Yeah.
Like.
It's going to be badass. Be very cool.
I love that they're feeding that.
And not to mention a Baby Yoda doing whatever he feels like doing.
Right.
Stealing some purple macaroons from the kid next to him at the school.
Well, and this had me thinking, like, so at this point, we're post-fall of the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Skywalker
Searching.
Has to be a name that everyone knows. So
you say that, but at the same time, the Mandalorian didn't even really know what the Jedi were.
I guess that's true.
You know what I mean?
I'd have to think, maybe not a name that everyone knows, but I have to think Ahsoka.
Oh, absolutely.
Has found out
that
her master's son is, so like,
is a Jedi.
Is she looking for Luke? Is she trying to like recreate that? Or is she totally divorcing herself from that because she doesn't want to be a part of Luke's life as because Anakin's, like, I think there's a lot of really interesting character to be developed there.
Yeah.
And then I think, and this is a question for you, because I don't know if I have the answer yet. Could, should, or would they recast a younger Luke Skywalker? And knowing full well that they made a movie of Han Solo recasting Han Solo.
True, true.
And like, that all of a sudden makes it a question for me.
Yeah.
Like, because I
would only...
But Mark Hamill loves Star Wars.
Right.
It would and do I, anything. I think he would do it.
Yeah.
But you would need, it would have to be like a CGI like version of
the
him
Irishman.
That he would voice.
Yeah. Like all the day with the Irishman with,
right.
They'd have to really make him younger. Not make him a lot younger, but, you know, younger than he looks now.
Yeah. I mean, well, now he's what, probably 60 and he looks every bit of 60, 65.
Yeah.
And that's immediately following Return of the Jedi.
I would say you'd have to do a CGI thing only because recasting him, because then you see him again in the sequel trilogies.
You see Han Solo again in the sequel trilogies.
Yeah, but the Solo stuff takes place before we ever met Han Solo.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about, we met Luke Skywalker for 6 movies, somebody else, and then we see him again for 3. I mean, in the same timeline is my only concern. Unless they got somebody who looks a whole fucking lot like him, but, you know.
I want to see it, though. How badass would it be?
I would assume, or my thought on this is, that's the hanger for season 2 is just the name Luke Skywalker is spoken or put out there, or someone's going to find him, or he sends someone a message. Something along those lines to where, because I, without a doubt, I think at some point Luke Skywalker shows up, either the hologram or something.
Has to.
On The Mandalorian.
Right?
If not, he shows up on the Ahsoka or the Boba Fett.
Well, he's for sure got it. Like, they'll for sure recast a kid version for the Obi-Wan series.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Like, there will be
a
kid Luke Skywalker in that.
Right.
No questions asked.
Right.
That will happen.
Right.
But, like,
The Boba Fett one, I recently heard that it could be a prequel, which I don't know that we pretty much already got that, I thought, I guess we didn't, but we got Jango Fett. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think with Boba Fett, you have to do, it starts when he gets drop in the Sarlacc pit. I mean, that's, to me, where the show should start.
Well, that's the only story that I want.
Right.
Because I think, like, any prequel to that is just Boba Fett being a badass bounty hunter.
Right.
And we already have a show with a Mandalorian being doing a badass that. Bounty hunter.
Right.
Like,
right.
So I don't need to see Boba Fett's version of that.
Me too. Right. I need to see Timothy Oliphant's version of that.
Right.
I'd watch the
shit out of that.
He's got a show back up today on this show, right? At some point this season.
Maybe. Or maybe they're just saving him to show up in the Boba Fett series.
Maybe.
Because I could see him becoming a major, like, adversarial role to Boba Fett's anti-hero.
Okay, I could see that. Sure.
In that. And I think he would get, like, high billing in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... Because there's also part of me that's like, I love what's happening, and I think this needs to be the show that spins out all of the other Star Wars shows.
Absolutely.
As it has been. But I also think I would like to see... I think I would like to see this. I shudder to put it on record, you know, as everyone will listen to this for years to come hold me to task. Yeah. Yep. But I think I want to get to a point where, like... Mando actually gets the child to a destination and is no longer babysitting him.
Sure.
And then it actually does become kind of a adventure of the week, him actually as a badass bounty hunter.
Right.
Like, I think that would be a fun show to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And with it being the first Star Wars live action and needing to build out this universe.
Be the personal bounty hunter for the Jedi.
Right. Just something like that where it's like...
We need to go find some kyber crystals. I'm on it.
Yeah.
Boom.
Like, I want that show.
Yeah.
I want what I have now more, but I think Obi-Wan series and Boba Fett series and possible Ahsoka series and all... Like, I think those series will then give me the things that I want.
Right.
That this one can go back to just being like, just expand the universe for me. Just take me to new planets. Introduce me to new foes. Introduce me to new characters and species and...
So...
Worlds.
Along those lines, do you want to see a live action version of that world between worlds like they did in Rebels? Or is it too soon for something like that?
I think I do.
I think it could be great, with especially the way they're building the universe out.
Yeah.
And how much history there already is in the universe as far as destinations and years that mean something.
Right. And I think what's most important, for me at least, with The Mandalorian and... Not Boba Fett or Obi-Wan, but at least The Mandalorian and whatever other possible things are floating. I need this to continue to do whatever the story needs to enrich the sequel trilogy. That, I think, is your number one task on The Mandalorian. Because I think Obi-Wan and the Cassian Andor series... and a Boba Fett series, I think they only really serve to enrich the original trilogy era, which is great. I'm happy to have that. I think that's the trilogy that needs the least amount of additional information. Right. But I also think the fan base wants more from that era. So I'm all for that existing. But I think it cannot be understated how important the Clone Wars series is for making the prequel trilogy good.
Sure.
And fixing the missteps that were done there.
Sure.
And the sequel trilogy desperately needs that same treatment.
Yeah.
It needs that added context. It needs that added direction. So if I'm Jon Favreau, that's my job. I want to play with maybe the world between worlds, or I want to play with different things.
Mm-hmm.
But... my fucking job is to fix
what
J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson did.
Sure.
Again, I love those three movies as individual movies. If I had to put them as individuals, I would put Last Jedi out of the 11 films. I'd put it in my top five.
Okay.
But it does a deep disservice to the story.
Yeah.
And I think the entire sequel trilogy... does a lot of disservice in reaching for stuff that maybe wasn't there, wasn't contextualized.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
And Mandalorian, because of the time that it's set, is is important for correcting that.
Sure. There was, and this is so random, made me think of it, like talking about shows spinning off The Mandalorian. It was a fan-made little quick thing. It's probably 20 years old now, but it was just called Troops. And it was based on Cops, the TV show Cops. Uh-huh. And it was just stormtroopers, like their day-to-day shit in Tatooine, you know, pulling over a junker. It was hilarious. Yeah. But I would love to see, I mean, you're not going to do Troops, but it was, as a comedy, because they're idiots. They're the, yeah. You know, they're, you know, all kinds of dumb shit. It's fucking, I'll have to show it to you. Seriously, you would love it. It's like 15 minutes long, but you will love it. It's well-made. It's hilarious. There's a domestic dispute between Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. It's fucking hilarious. It's hilarious. Yeah, it's like, you know, she's yelling. It's like, he won't let Luke go to Tatooine. You know, it was hilarious. It's fucking great. Anyways.
But I think
I would love room. That kind of stuff. Right. To do a comedy. Do something along those lines.
And I think there's room for that.
But I think the Lego things help move that to being totally real. You know what I mean? And everybody can take comedy in animation. It's softer. You expect it a little better. Mm-hmm. When you put this weird or this huge universe that everybody loves so much and you try to play with it different than anybody's ever played with it, it can really turn on you quick.
It's for sure.
Concern, so.
But I also think we're getting to a place where, like, once Disney can really begin producing at a high output again, they're going to continue to produce a bunch of Star Wars stuff because that's the toy.
Right.
You know, and I think regardless of how much Marvel they will continue to produce, I think Marvel will lose its shine more. Like, I don't think Marvel, the MCU stuff, will ever die.
Right.
And I say this as a huge fan of all, like, Star Wars has more staying power.
Sure.
On that end.
It's got a broader audience. Much broader, broader audience. I mean, right. A huge, much bigger audience.
And I also think, like, the Marvel stuff, the full decade run they had from Iron Man to Endgame was beat for beat fucking perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, they walked a tightrope that is inconceivable. They're gonna start missing.
Oh, sure.
Not a ton. No, I still believe in what they're gonna do.
Right.
But, like, you can't replicate that run.
Right.
So I think the MCU output will start slowing down a little bit. And I think in turn, they're realizing with Star Wars what they have in the Disney Plus world, where we'll see fewer cinematic Star Wars approaches.
Definitely.
But I think we'll see 3 to 4 series per year.
I would agree.
I think there will be an 8-part series mm-hmm. every fucking quarter.
Wouldn't surprise me. Yep. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yep. Like a February, a May, a fucking July,
yeah.
and an October.
Yeah.
For forever.
Right. Why wouldn't you?
Right.
Yep. I agree. I agree 100%.
And then let those serve the movies.
Sure.
As they come. You know, right. Like the movies can be what the movies should be. Spectacles.
Right.
You know, like I think what I always forget, and I'm sure a lot of fans forget, like, because I have so much fucking Star Wars baggage mm-hmm. that, like, I have unmeetable expectations for a Star Wars movie.
Right.
Because of I need it to serve the story. But then I also can, I'm pretty good at removing myself when I'm in the theater, at least. And, like, I just need a Star Wars movie to be a Star Wars movie. I need to think space travel is cool and weird. I need to think imaginative creatures exist. Mm-hmm. I need to see the good guys fucking win. Like, I need a fairy tale.
Right.
And I need it to captivate my attention.
Right.
And that's all the movies need to do. And if you have a ton of story, a ton of series that really advance the plot in meaningful, deep, interesting ways, then the movies can just be fucking fun.
Right. Right.
And that's what they should be.
Agreed. I would agree with that.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I got nothing else.
Yeah. That's all the Star Wars I've got for this week. I've got tons of other stuff, but nothing else.
I felt like I had... Oh, this is what I was going to say. Just in, like, comparing Star Wars to Marvel and things like that. I think people I've talked to who don't get into the Marvel movies, it's mm-hmm. because there's so much so quick.
Right.
With Star Wars, it's been building over 40 years. So it's not like when a new Star Wars comes to me, you're like, fuck, now I got to go watch these other 9 I haven't seen yet. No, you fucking been watching those the last 20 years of your life. So you caught them at some point. Right. Of course, Star Wars now is getting a little more ramped up and more stuff like that. And that's my concern is it will get to the point where it's as big as all this content out every year that people will start pushing away because it's so overwhelming.
My hope is that they learn from the Marvel model and from the past Star Wars model that I think everything in Star Wars has always enriched other parts of Star Wars, but never been necessary. Like, Clone Wars as a series is self-contained. Mm-hmm. It makes the prequel trilogy cooler, but you don't need to have seen the prequel trilogy. And for the prequel trilogy to make sense, you don't need to see that.
Right.
The original trilogy, it's just 3 movies. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. The prequel trilogy is just 3 movies. And like they're so compartmentalized that it's not overwhelming. Right. 'Cause you don't have to say, man, do I need to watch 11 movies and fucking 15 seasons of different shows?
Right.
No, absolutely not. Right. You need to watch, like, if you're...
But Marvel makes it seems like
you need Marvel to watch. Well, Marvel does.
Right, totally.
Like, they build off each other so directly.
Right.
And I think being in a shared universe is cool, but I think that is that's the detriment of Marvel.
Agreed.
Is that everything is... You know,
standing on the shoulders of the next thing.
Right. Yes. Like, Ant-Man is the sequel to Avengers 2.
Right.
You know, like,
well, and the way they did it, speaking of it, you don't see Ant-Man. You really don't get Endgame and how, how they do all this? If you watch Ant-Man, which a lot of people will, like, what the fuck am I going to watch Ant-Man? You know what I mean?
You need to watch the post-credit scene of Ant-Man 2.
Right.
Or the post-credit scene, the Incredible Hulk,
that really doesn't even pertain to anything else except the post-credit scene with Tony Stark showing up type shit. Yeah,
Tony Hawk.
I was talking Tony Hawk the other day with Noah. It's good stuff.
But like, I think Star Wars, I hope, will continue to live in that world where it's like, yeah, man, we're gonna make these shows that create really nice context to enrich the world, but like. And I think you need to have seen the movies to watch the shows.
Sure.
But I don't think it's vice versa.
Right.
And I hope it always stays that
way. Other than Mandalorian, really. I would say you could watch Mandalorian and not really know too much about...
Yeah.
Because the Mandalorian doesn't know about a lot of the things going on in the universe. You know what I mean? So he's kind of... When you're viewing the universe through his eyes.
He's the audience perspective.
Exactly. So I think that makes it a little easier to take if you don't know everything around
the universe. I think you're right. So, I haven't really thought about that. Yeah. But I think that's totally true.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited with what they're doing.
Me too. And once again, I'm just so excited I live in a world where we get Star Wars weekly.
Right.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Well, and it's not only are we getting
Who would have ever weekly? Thought that 20, 30 years ago that I would get a weekly Star Wars show?
Who would have thought that 5 years ago?
Right.
And like, only am I getting it weekly, but it's
not just a cartoon.
It's feature film quality too. Right. Like,
and not only that, but now when you shoot a stormtrooper, you see him fall. You see him hit the ground. But it made me laugh so hard when he hits the ground. You're like, okay. All right. I love that shit.
But like every episode this season has been like the production value is so high,
yeah, big time,
that it's like every episode is like, oh, this is just a small Star Wars movie,
right? Right.
That's fucking cool.
Right.
And I think with them having the volume and all that stuff to shoot in, like, it just makes it so easy for them to create such high quality output.
Well, not only that, but I'm realizing too, just because of Disney's assets and the way they can create a bubble, they're going to be shooting out stuff way faster than any other studio going to be able to do. You can live on those compounds no problem for months on end, and they got, you know, you don't have to... It's fantastic, you know. Anyways, they're really gonna start because Mandalorian, you know, this season's already done, obviously, but they start shooting the next season at the end of this year.
I think they already have started production, pre-production, and shit.
So like, they're
ready to roll.
They're not stopping, man. These people are working.
And why would they?
Right.
You know, like when you have a situation that allows you to produce when no one else can.
Do it.
Fuck yeah.
I got no more Star Wars stuff, so you want to take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a breather.
Okay.
And then we'll hit a plethora of other things.
All right, go buy some shit we're advertising.
Hey man, it's me, Kevin Smith. Check out alteredstatecomics.com right now. I will wait. But while I'm waiting, I'm going to also tell you, go check out the Altered State podcast, man. They come straight out of St. Louis, Brandon and John, and they are there for all your pop culture needs. They're very orally accented, is what I'm saying, ladies and dudes. So there you go, man. AlteredStateComics.com. It's right there in the name.
And we're back.
We are back. Before we came on, you were talking a little Wonder Woman.
Yes.
I hear they're putting it on HBO Max on the 25th. How do you feel about that?
They're going to get my fucking money. Finally.
I was going to say, yeah. I was like, wait, they're not charging like Disney, but no, it's already...
HBO Max is... Yeah. I'm going to get HBO Max for a month.
So that was their goal.
Yep. They're going to get $15 out of me, but that's all they're getting.
Now, it's also going to be put in the theaters. Good idea? Bad idea?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because I think in areas that theaters are open... having a new Christmas movie will do very well. Totally. I think even people that don't give a shit about superheroes or Wonder Woman or anything would be like, oh, a new spectacle movie in where, and I think in most of rural America, the theaters are open.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For the most part.
And haven't been able to, you know, like I think there are tens of thousands of theaters across America that are open.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just in the more populous...
You think with all this...
Like, population-dense areas, they're not.
All the virus things going around. How's the popcorn industry doing?
Just fucking fine.
Are they okay just with microwave stuff at home? Or are they... okay.
Yeah.
And then, I didn't know if they were taking a big beating.
I'm sure they're doing all right. Did you see... I don't know...
What about the Raisinette company? Are they doing okay?
I don't know if they're still doing this... But I remember, like, when the quarantine started, the Marcus theaters were, like, selling big bags of popcorn.
Oh, no shit.
That you could, like, go pick up.
That's a bit too much.
Yeah.
That's a bit too much.
I
wish I would have known. No, I wouldn't have got it. But I love movie theater popcorn, but I can never eat whatever. No matter what size I get, I'm never eating it all. It just doesn't happen. Oh,
see, I have the opposite problem. No matter what size I get, I will eat it all and I will feel like shit.
Yeah.
Because I will eat it all. Right. And on top of that, I will eat it all too fast.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get like the fucking bucket.
Right.
And I will be more than halfway done by the time the movie starts.
See, that
like, was just getting through the trailers. Right. I'm eating half of a bucket of fucking popcorn.
And that was always my problem because I'm... that guy that gets there 20, 30 minutes
right,
early.
Exactly.
I eat popcorn for the first 20 minutes and then I don't want it during the movie.
Yep.
So I'm like, I gotta switch something up here at some point. So I'll get the popcorn, but I won't even touch it until previews.
Oh.
It's rough.
I don't have that kind of self-control. Gee.
Now, I can't do that with my Dr. Pepper.
Right.
So funny. I love, you know, Mitch Hedberg, the comedian, passed away a long time ago. But, you know, I was feeling upset, you know, because... my good buddy left me. So I got on one of my playlists is just comedy stuff, you know, random funny tracks, funny, whatever. Mitch Hedberg's on there. And it's the most random line, but that's all his stuff. And he's like, I had a Mr. Pibb the other day. Mr. Pibb's an imitation of Dr. Pepper, but it's a bullshit imitation because dude didn't even get his degree. it makes me laugh. It's so stupid, but it makes me laugh. So
Not even Dr. Thunder.
That's right, Dr. Thunder. Is that a Schnook special?
I believe so.
I think so too, right? Must have been before they got the vest deal, right?
Right.
Yeah. I love me some Whistle.
Oh.
A little orange vest.
Whistle.
Oh, is there a better orange soda on the market than a vest?
Nope. But yeah, I think the Wonder Woman move is... I think it's the only move.
At this point.
Because, I think...
it's got to be out there. You got to get it out there.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think you have too much risk of it just going stale.
Right.
Like, if it comes out in April, does anyone give a shit?
Right.
Few people already do.
Right.
You need something to drive traffic into this huge streaming service that you've purchased and developed anyway.
But they're still lagging. They're lagging behind Netflix and Disney Plus, so they need something to pick them up.
You know, you need a loss leader.
Yep.
And that's a really great option there.
Yep.
And then you also get to be... you get to create a moment for people in America... that may or may not pay dividends for you, but it's like at worst, it's great PR, you know, because like, so think if you
What else are they going to be talking about Christmas Day other than that one movie in the cinema theaters?
Disney is launching, is dropping Soul.
That's true.
Which is a huge fucking family movie on Christmas Day also.
But I still think different audience than you're looking for Wonder Woman.
Probably. Yeah. And even if not, I think there'll be a lot of people who would want to watch both.
Oh, yeah.
And will, because they're not leaving the house.
Yeah.
And I think by creating a... You're doing as much as you can to eventize something that can't be an event.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can create that kind of goodwill and that kind of good memory with that character, I think it will probably make people like the movie more because they haven't seen anything in a while and it's a spectacle and now it's at home and it's the Christmas day and yada yada. So then the next DC movie that comes out probably gets a little more grace.
Sure.
You know, like you've bought good graces that I think very realistically could pay dividends at the box office for your next film.
I can see. I understand that. Sure.
I think it could. I think it could make Wonder Woman. I mean, I would say the first one was well liked and well received.
Agreed. Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think this now cements you not having a sophomore slump. Regardless of how, unless the movie's horrible, which I find hard to believe. I mean, like, my guess is it's at worst okay.
Sure.
Yeah. And an okay movie becomes a really good movie when you're in that mood.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I think that's hedging your bets for something that you've already taken a bath on anyway.
Right. Well, something that's okay, as long as it's new content, is going to mean a little more than.
Fuck yes, it will.
Just anything else that's out there right now.
100% it will.
So,
I think it's a perfect move.
Yeah.
The real question is, now when is Disney gonna fire back and just be like, oh,
here's Black Widow.
Yeah, we'll give you Black Widow on New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
why not?
No shit.
Fuck it.
No shit. What bothers me or just annoys me is that the movie industry in general is kind of taking their, do we release it? Do we not? Based on Tenet.
Yeah.
Tenet is not a movie that's going to get... I mean, it could have been very successful in normal time, but most people aren't seeking out Tenet. Like, they're not waiting in anticipation for Tenet. You know what I mean? They weren't... I mean, it was built up, but at the same time, if it just would have came out a normal summer, it would have been a good movie and whatever, but no one would have been like... I don't know.
I think the only
Everything off of that is different than Wonder Woman, Bill and Ted. Anything else that's... Tenet is a different type of movie than these movies.
Any of these movies that have a built-in audience.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like, that's the difference for me. Like, I think for a Tenet to be massive, it needs to be very good. And then after people see it, they tell their friends that it's very good. Or the new trailer has the reviews that are really good.
Right.
And then more people see it. For Wonder Woman to make a bunch of money, it just has to exist.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be good.
That's true.
Because because there's a built-in audience
right.
that will show up whether it's good or bad. And they will show up to be able to either praise it or bitch about it.
Yeah.
But they'll fucking give you their $10 for it.
That's right.
And Tenet, like, is not going to get your $12.50.
Right.
Well, who am I saying $10 like it's 2005 again?
Yeah.
Speaking of 2005, all right, I'm going off on a small tangent.
Tangent it.
Of course, being in the St. Louis music scene, you remember the Creepy Crawl.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
The original Creepy Crawl.
Yes.
At 412 North Tucker.
Absolutely.
Not the one on Washington Avenue.
Right, the good one.
Yeah, the one with the fucking dressing room with the toilet in it.
Yep. That was a toilet? No.
That more horrifying shit has happened in that building.
Literally.
Yeah. than any of you need to hear me recount.
Yes.
But I was downtown 2 weeks ago, and I saw that building is now a Chinese restaurant.
Really?
And in driving past it, I was like, I know all the fucked up shit that's happened, but I gotta try it.
Yeah.
So last night, Libby and I ordered Asia Gourmet from 412 North Tucker.
That's fantastic.
And I went in to pick it up. It is insane how well they've transformed that building.
Yeah.
Bathrooms are still in the same place. The office is the old dressing room, and it still has the both doors.
I love it.
But they say private.
Yeah.
I really wish I could have kicked one of those doors in.
Yeah.
Where the stage used to be is the kitchen.
Okay.
But it was delicious.
Nice.
And I just think about 2005 all over, because I think about...
Well, it's funny you say that, because a lot of this quarantine stuff and businesses shutting down make me think there's an opportunity for collaborations.
Yeah.
I remember the 80s and 90s, you'd have a Chinese restaurant and they'd have a stand-up comedian on stage.
Yeah.
I think we're looking for a Chinese punk rock club that would blow the roof off this entire town.
And 412 North Tucker.
We can make it happen.
Is the spot.
Fucking
for it.
Right, man. You throw a stage on there, even if it's just dashboard confessional type punk rock acoustic shit, you'll make a fortune. Make a fortune. I'll be there every night. Little Mugu Guy Pan, little punk rock. Fucking sign me up, man.
Oh, shit.
Oh, what a great, that'd be a great weekend. What a big, great weekend.
Right. Yeah. All right. Sorry about that option. But Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
yeah.
I got nothing else there either.
I think they're making the right move. And I think because of their...
I'm glad they are.
Because of their audience, I'm interested to see, like, they'll do that. And then we should have a Snyder cut relatively shortly after.
Yeah.
But I am
it four episodes? Is it going to be a four-hour thing?
I believe so.
I remember what I read recently was 2.5 of the 4 hours is never before seen footage.
Yeah.
Either new, his old, whatever. Pretty fucking badass.
Wow.
And they're already asking for a trilogy. I don't know if that will happen just based on the actors
they
and stuff.
They already asked for a trilogy. I think that's the thing is he had the treatment for a trilogy already.
Yeah. 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 The way he talks about this story and building all these characters up, it had to be planned
out
for multiple.
It has to take time to pay off.
Yes. Anyways, okay.
Like Star Wars did.
Totally, totally. So this is what I want to get into. There are two movies that we both, I'm going to say, love.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Two movie franchises that we both love.
Okay.
That are going to come out with an episode 5. Do you know what I'm talking about yet? Lethal Weapon is doing, it's already confirmed. It's being written. Indiana Jones goes into production in August.
Really?
Sure does.
I don't know if I want to see another Indy.
I do. I will always.
I love Indiana Jones.
Did I love Crystal Skull? No. But I enjoyed it.
I didn't hate Crystal Skull
either,
the way most people
I didn't hate it by any means, no.
I think this is going to sound shitty. I don't think I want to see more Indiana Jones until Harrison Ford is dead. Because I want to recast Indiana Jones.
Oh, never. No way. Not until he's dead. You can't until he's dead. But that's
I'm saying.
Right. I know what you're saying.
You know, I like Indiana Jones.
Just a big Shia LaBeouf guy.
Well, no, I don't want to see like the mantle passed to someone new. I want to be a James Bond. Sure. I legitimately want to see more adventures of Indiana Jones.
Right.
And have them be Indiana Jones.
Do you think they give it to Joaquin Phoenix? Just because his younger brother was young Indiana Jones?
I would. He's too old now.
Well, he could still be Indiana Jones. He wouldn't be young Indy, obviously, but...
I mean, he's got to be 50.
No, he's probably in his late 30s or 40s.
He is not in his late 30s.
Sure.
I bet at the youngest he is 46.
Moranis Buck?
At the youngest. Yeah, I got a Moranis Buck on it.
I don't know about that. Let's see. Joaquin. How the hell do you spell Joaquin? J-O-H?
J-O-A-K-I-N? Yeah, I'm saying 46 at the youngest.
Let's see here. I would be shocked. He was born in 1947. No, he was born in 1974.
So that makes him 46.
In Puerto Rico?
That makes him 46, motherfucker.
It does. I'm shocked. Yeah. Cotton needs new shorts.
Right.
But still, as being shit, well, Harrison Ford's what, 100? So...
Harrison Ford was like,
first off,
Harrison Ford was like 35 when the first.
It's an action movie, but it's also Indiana Jones. So maybe you're jumping across something. Maybe you're slinging a whip.
Yeah,
you're not. John Wick and shit. You're not Matrixing anything. Yeah. So you could be...
I don't think you need a kid, but I think you need someone that's...
Do you want someone to, you know, do 8 movies kind of thing? Like right. That kind of... Okay.
Well, I would like them to cast someone who is...
Going to be around.
I would like them to cast someone between the age of 30 and 34.
Okay.
That you could make movies with for 10 years.
Okay.
Because I don't want just one Indiana Jones movie. I want them to serialize Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Give me one every 2 years
yeah.
that are standalone adventures. Like, I don't want them to be, like, building this crazy overarching world. I don't want that out of Indiana Jones. I want it to be James Bond. Like, I want to see a dude in the 40s fight Nazis.
Right, right. That's Indiana Jones.
Over some artifacts.
So you don't want to see a modern day Indiana Jones kind of
no,
thing?
No. Absolutely not.
He couldn't still be hunting, you know...
Horcruxes?
Ancient aliens no. or whatever they do, you know, that kind of shit?
No, so, yeah. I don't want any Indiana Jones that exists after the year 1960.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I want them all to be period pieces. I want them all to exist in that place and time where he can be fucking indie, you know? Like, because like you said, it's not an action movie.
But having said that...
I want him to do it James Bond style.
Right.
And I think the
biggest... But James Bond goes modern.
But that's the thing. I think the biggest disservice to James Bond is in the entire Daniel Craig era. Those aren't James Bond movies. They're just fucking action movies. They're good action movies, yeah. but they're just action movies.
Yeah.
I want a James Bond movie that is fucking suave and weird and probably a little inappropriate and cheesy yeah. and fucking cheeky.
Yeah.
Like...
Won't get it anymore. You won't get that ever again.
Oh, you won't get the sexist parts of yeah. it, but you can get suave and cheeky and kind of winks at itself. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I want that. I think that's part of what makes a James Bond movie not just an action movie.
That's fair.
There's a million that's fucking fair. Action movies out there yeah. if you want them. You can go watch 14 Fast and the Furious movies if you just want to see some cool action.
Yeah, I won't do that.
But, but like, I want James Bond to do that, and I want Indiana Jones to be a fucking archaeology professor
right.
back when that shit mattered.
Right.
Fighting Nazis for artifacts.
Right. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Like I get that. Yeah.
And I don't... I have zero interest in the franchise being more than what it is. Okay. And I think that's a problem that a lot of people in those production worlds. Like, well, we got to be bigger and better. No, you don't. Just shut up and play the hits.
That's true. That's a good point.
You know,
that's
like, I will happily... give you my $15 at the theater for 2 hours of me to feel that way, to watch a fucking silly, rough around the edges, fucking gruff, grouchy Harrison Ford punch a Nazi.
I don't know. I'm not saying I want for sure it to be modern day, but I don't know that it would ruin it modern day. I know. I get what you're saying with the Daniel Craig 007 type stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the more I think about it, yes, the more it is just very Jason Bourne-y and, you know, blow this up, blow that up.
Right.
There was no real interaction with Q as far as, hey, let's goof on the car stuff. You know, that type of,
right.
you know.
The scene where they walk, where Q walks through all the new gadgets.
Right.
That's a crucial scene. Right. That's my favorite scene in every James Bond movie.
Absolutely.
We haven't fucking had it.
Some guy in the back is getting burned up or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Right. Like, that's what makes James Bond James Bond, man. I don't need pussy galore. I need Q showing me a pen grenade.
Right.
Which is why Kingsman was so dope.
I did enjoy... I watched Kingsman the other day, actually.
Fuck, it was on dude, TV. Both Kingsman yeah. movies?
Very good.
Those are James Bond movies.
They are. You're right.
And that's what I want.
You're right. You're right. You know what else I watched the other day, which is pretty much a James Bond movie? The Rock. Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten how
winners
much...
go home and fuck the prom queen.
Yeah. But just like... When they
which
first,
is a real James Bond thing to say. A.
But when they get him out of jail, and he's like, I want a suit and a tailor. And he's doing all this at this very nice hotel. And it's so fucking James Bond. It's fantastic. I mean, I know it was a nod to it, obviously.
Right.
But then in the end, you know, it's like if you ever take a trip to whatever in the middle of Texas, and there's like, you know, the who shot JFK, foot, you know, all that. So it's so, I would have loved to see 4 or 5 of those. The
sure.
Rocks. That would have been fantastic.
And I think that, like, that's something that's missing in entertainment today that I think was golden from, like, everything before year 2000, really, was, like, people were just content making good movies that stood alone that right. didn't need to say something. Like, right. I love movies that say something, and I love movies that have connected universes, and I love all, but like,
but I also love Airheads.
Right. Yeah. I also just love to have fucking fun at the movies.
Right.
And Indiana Jones and James Bond, that's just fun at the movies. Right. Don't make it more than it is.
You know what I learned from Adam Sandler movies? Not a fucking thing. And that's what I love about
right.
it.
Right. Dude, I watched this weekend. So much fun. Last night, Libby and I watched Enola Holmes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
On Netflix.
With what's her name from
Changing Millie Things? Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
She is fucking delightful. Yeah. First of all,
I've heard that's great. I haven't watched
it. Dude, I love that kid. Yeah. She is.
Who's the other? Who's the actor?
Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill. Yeah, thank you, Superman.
And Sam Clayton, whatever. He was in like he was in the Hunger Games shit and stuff. You'd recognize his face. He's been in a bunch of things. And Helena Bonham Carter.
Yes.
But boy, was it fucking fun, man! Nice. Like it was cute. It was charming. It was just a fun fucking movie. And I was like, I need more of that in my life.
Sure.
Like I will go to, like, the Star Wars and Marvel movies will give me what I want out of the shared universe stuff. And I think it's, I understand why, like, other studios and other people are, like, trying to bite on that. You know, like, we need a shared Fast and Furious universe and a shared Monsters universe and a shared DC universe. It's like, no, man, I got my fix of those. Right. I have places that I am willing, for a number of reasons, to invest that many hours into. But those are the only places I'm going to invest that many hours into.
Right.
So don't waste your time trying to get me to. Yeah. Appeal to the other part of me as a consumer that just wants to eat popcorn and smile.
That's right. That's right.
You know, like, yeah. I don't, it's the same thing when I'll see, like, you know, the big blockbuster movie that, like, really tries to tell an impactful, powerful story. It's like, no, dude, I watch indie flicks for that. I read books for that.
Right.
You know, like, I don't go to the movie theater.
Or at least
for that.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, put it in a nice package for me, like a Fight Club or something.
Right.
You want to tell me something about, you know, commercialization or whatever, consumers, and sure, put Brad Pitt in it and hit some people a few times. And
well, I think there's absolutely a, and like, I love deep, engaging, interesting storytelling, but I love that in HBO series.
Sure.
I love that in books. I love that in indie movies. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to the movie theater, I am probably not in the market to be to have my view of the world challenged.
Absolutely.
I love having my view of the world challenged. I think it's important that we all, you know, take our beliefs out and beat them every now and again.
Yep.
But like,
but I'll go see
when I go to the theater, I'm going for escapism. Totally. I'm going because I want to sit in a dark room full of strangers.
Right.
And feel joy.
Right, right.
And feel like a fucking kid.
I'll go see a Spike Lee film if I need a message or something, which is fine, but I know that getting into it, this is what it's going to be.
Right, and I think the studios have lost sight of trying to market to an entire consumer.
Want to cross-market everything, you know,
where it's like, as a consumer, I love all of those things. I love shared universes, I love comedy, I love sci-fi, I love emotion. I love them all, but I need all of those things to be marketed to me. I don't need everybody to try to approach my same two sensibilities.
Yep.
Because I am a three-dimensional person that would like sometimes to just fucking unplug.
Absolutely. I don't know why this popped in my head. Probably the drugs. The first time I probably ever knew any, I mean, I didn't know it was called a shared universe because there was no such thing in the 80s or whatever, but the first time, you know, two things shared the same screen, Scooby-Doo and the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh.
Yeah, remember all those specials?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Globetrotters were always on Scooby-Doo.
That shit's fun.
That's right. That's probably my first ever.
We have a DVD of Batman Meets the Scooby-Doo Gang.
I always wondered how that...
And Diedrich Bader voices Batman.
That's fantastic.
And it's fucking wonderful. That's a really fun...
I always wondered how that happened. Like, how the fuck did some guy writing Scooby-Doo be like, we need the Globetrotters? Like, I love it. I took note of Globetrotters a few times. We had a blast. It was great entertainment. He loved it.
And yeah.
I loved it, you know. But I never needed to see him on Scooby-Doo. I mean, I just didn't get...
Yes, you did.
I mean, I loved Don't Get Me Wrong. Well, I take that back. In the 80s, The Globetrotters were huge. Yeah. I mean, that was on TV all the time. Like, on the weekends, Globetrotters were always on TV playing.
Was it the Senators?
It was the Washington Senators. Yeah. Because I always remember it from the Simpsons episode. Krusty Clown.
Uh-huh.
He's a big gambler, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you know, the Hollywood Towers one's like, oh, I had the Senators. I thought they were due. But that was, I mean, and so talk about engaging with, you know, and we're getting the Hollywood Towers, but, you know, after the thing, they're all out there signing anything all these kids want. It's fantastic. You didn't have to have the super seats up front for them to, I mean, they were walking through the stands. It was great. It was great. Anyways. Hollywood Towers.
I think we've kind of lost, as an entertainment society, I think we've kind of lost the children's friendly celebrity. And not in the sense of like child friendly of like they're not going to curse, but child friendly in that like the Harlem Globetrotters aren't real celebrities.
Nope.
But to a kid, they feel like
absolutely.
It. Just like monster car, exactly. Monster truck
Bigfoot.
Drivers
yes.
yeah. aren't real celebrities, but like. Y'all got that shit signed as a kid. I know
right.
I fucking did.
Fucking A right.
And yep. it felt cool.
That's right.
And
that's
now right. it's like, it's just, everything is, it's weird because there's fewer, I'm trying to think how to say this, there's more ways in to the public eye. You know, there's more routes, there's fewer gatekeepers. But because of that, like, it feels like there's more of a separation between like what's real and what isn't.
That's true.
Like what's. Yeah. What is considered legit
yeah.
and what isn't.
Yeah. There's also this, with, a, you know, I don't want to say just millennials, whatever, but this a modern day thing of if you're on YouTube or Instagram, you're a star. I don't know who the fuck you are. You know what I mean? Like, people act like they're fucking famous because they got a couple hundred thousand followers. There's billions of people out there.
Hey,
guarantee
man.
They're not all in this bar.
Hey, I make a podcast,
right? That's my point.
I'm a star.
Right. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a restaurant and be like, oh, you don't know me? Altered State representing, bitch.
What the fuck are you doing with your life?
Ugh. We didn't talk about Lethal Weapon. Do you care about Lethal Weapon?
I am not really a Lethal
Did
Weapon
Did you watch
guy.
Any of them?
I watched the first couple.
Yeah. I was curious. It's a little earlier than you, I think.
Yeah.
It came out late 80s, the first one, I think, right?
Yeah. I was like 89. To me, the Lethal Weapon movies are always like, they're like, those are, that's Channel 11 rerun movies to me.
I gotcha. All right.
That like, I saw, they were around.
Right.
But I don't know that I have ever actually like sat down with the intention of watching a Lethal Weapon movie and watched it beginning to end. I'd be willing to bet I've seen at least three of them. All of the parts of three of them,
right.
but never like
I would bet
in a linear fashion.
I would bet a Moranis buck that you would enjoy the first one for sure. If you sat down and watched it
yeah.
as is, it's a great story. Now, after that, you know, it's more just a cop, buddy cop kind of story.
Which but is fun.
It
I
is.
Like a buddy cop.
But the first one is more, you know, Martin Riggs, the Mel Gibson guy, is fucked up. You know what I mean? He's off kilter. He's like a Vietnam vet. Little post-traumatic stuff's going on still in his head. Very suicidal. Puts a gun in his mouth a few times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. But still a very enjoyable movie. And then the second ones take the buddy cop tone a little different. I'm okay right now. Thank you, though. But I think just knowing some of your taste in movies, you'd probably enjoy the first one.
I believe that.
And
it's definitely not something that I've
and I'm
avoided.
Trying to think.
Like I certainly believe that I am in the target audience for it.
Sure.
And I believe that I would probably have a good time with it.
And it also surprises me, along the same lines as Die Hard, this should be considered more of a Christmas movie. It takes place during Christmas time.
Oh.
The first scene, Mel Gibson kills a couple guys in a Christmas tree lot. It's very Christmassy.
I'd have to imagine
right?
that it's not considered a Christmas movie
no.
because Die Hard is.
I would 100%.
Die Hard came out first, yeah?
I think Die Hard's more of an 87, 88. I wouldn't say Die Hard's at least 3 to 4 years probably earlier.
Right.
Maybe so, a couple years, yes.
And I think the controversy of whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I don't recall that controversy sparking up, though, until like 10 years ago.
Die Hard
just kind of... I mean, people always loved Die Hard. It was always on during the holidays, one and two, because they're both take place during Christmas. But then it was really like 10 years ago when people were like, it's a Christmas movie, right? Well, no, you're fucking stupid. I mean, it was, I don't remember that discussion until about 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I feel like...
I was getting my Christmas Funkos out, as you saw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw, but one of them is John McClane because
well, that's important.
Fucking has to be.
That matters.
That's right.
That's, I'm trying to figure out. So on my mantle at home, we did our Christmas decorations earlier this week, and I have. I don't know if you recall this, but this was probably 6 or 7 years ago. Hallmark did exclusive little Star Wars plushies that were Christmas themed.
Okay.
They predated Funko doing it.
Okay.
But they might as well be Funko Pops. Like, they're the same size, but they're plushy. And you'll have to look at them next time you're at my house. Like, they...
Like those Walking Dead plushies we had there for a while?
They're like the same size. Yeah. And they are very much... I think they are the same design as the Funko ones.
Okay.
Like, they only made 4, and they only did it that 1 year. And I went to the Hallmark store in South County Mall and bought all 4 the day they came out, of course. But it's Yoda with a Santa hat and a candy cane as his cane.
Sure.
Which I think is the Funko Pop.
Pretty sure, yeah.
There's Chewie...
He was the Funko one. He's like wrapped up in lights.
Is he wrapped up in lights on? I can't remember the Chewie one that's on my mantle. And then there's the two droids, 3PO and R2.
Okay.
And it's R2 with reindeer
ears. Yep, that's how the Funko one is. Yep.
And I think it's 3PO just wearing like a Christmas scarf.
I feel like he maybe had a hat on, but I can't remember exactly. So yeah, about the same.
But so I put those on my mantle. And then I keep thinking, like, all right, I got room. Do I need to get some Christmas Funkos?
Right.
But then it's like, I want all the Star Wars Christmas Funkos.
Sure.
But I don't want to replace the plushies that I... And I don't want to have Star Wars plushie and Funko. So then do I just get the Marvel Funko? Like... clearly, I'm thinking far too much because either way, my wife's going to be like, stop putting this shit on my mantle. More than likely.
Well, you noticed all mine were down here.
Yeah.
They weren't upstairs in the main room. Yes.
My wife will probably begrudgingly be like, fucking fine, John.
Right.
Just do it. God. Whatever.
Yep. Yep.
You fucking child. I married a child.
Till death. Ugh.
Right. You were fat when we met. I thought you'd be dead by now.
That's so funny.
That kind of shit.
Yep. Yep. It's funny. I'm off topic, but I always think about my dog.
Uh-huh.
But Jessica and I, you know, the way we joke with each other, like we would argue through the dog. You know what I mean? So now we have to talk to each other and it's really fucking up our relationship.
Shit,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's like, a lot harder.
She'd say something or I'd say something that, you know, we inside, you know, you roll your eyes. People like, Brody says you're fucking stupid. Like it would just be like, you know, Brody says fuck off or something like that.
Yeah.
Can't do it anymore. Now we got to talk to each other.
I don't know. I think you should still do it.
Still doing it. Yeah.
I think you should still do it.
Well, Brody said fuck off.
Brody's a force ghost.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Any more? Go ahead, please.
Well, so there's... I was saying that I had watched Enola Holmes.
Oh, yes.
I watched something else today that I'm really excited to dig further into on the Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped all 8 episodes on Friday. The Marvel 616.
Oh, yeah.
Have you looked into what that is?
Just a little bit as far as the origins, right?
So it's basically Marvel 30 for 30.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It's 8 different directors, and each one chose like just a kind of weird, bizarre part of Marvel history and does an hour-long special about it. So it's not like the history of Marvel, which is a documentary we've all seen a million times. Like, so the first one, I only watched the first one, I watched it today, is about the Japanese Spider-Man TV show in the 70s.
Okay.
And it's fucking great. And it's like a story that I had no idea about. Like, I'm a lifelong comic book fan and reader.
Right.
I love all that. And I was completely blindsided by all of it.
Nice.
And I think that's going to be what a lot of 616 is. It's 30 for 30 for comic book fans instead of sports fans.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah. I was like, I was totally ignorant to it. Like, I didn't even know they were fucking producing it. Like, I didn't pay attention.
Is it, you know, shot kind of like the movies that made us, the toys that made us,
yes,
type episode.
Okay. Yes, okay. Very similar.
Okay.
At least this first one was. Like, sure. I haven't watched the whole series.
Okay.
But I watched the first one and was just very delighted by it.
Awesome. I did see that. I didn't sit down and watch it yet, but it looked pretty decent.
As someone who doesn't give a shit about the Disney Plus,
right?
You have it for The Mandalorian.
Pretty much.
I think I found something else for you.
I'm in it. All right. I'll check it out.
It is fun. It is fucking weird as shit.
It's funny. I didn't think Disney Plus, I would use it for anything else other than Mandalorian. And then I was trying to figure out what to buy my nieces for Christmas. And I forgot, they use my Disney Plus account. What have they been watching? Now I know exactly what to get them.
Oh.
Perfect, right?
What a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I know what I'm doing. So it worked out. Thanks, Disney Plus.
Dude, Disney Plus is... It's my shit.
I know.
It's not only is it like for me as like I'm a huge and obviously a huge Star Wars and Marvel fan, and I watch those movies stupidly. I've burned through all the DVDs too many times anyway. Now right. I don't need DVDs, which is dope.
Yeah.
But I'm also a huge Disney fan, so that's great. But man, having young kids, it is a lifesaver. Holy shit, is it great.
Yeah,
it's incredible to have a platform where I know everything on it is okay for them to see, and all of it is well produced with money,
right?
So odds are it's going to be also like it's going to be acceptable for them to see, but it's also going to be well enough made that I'm not gonna fucking hate it.
Sure.
Like, even the shit that I don't love is like,
you can sit
That's cute.
Right.
You know? Like, they'll watch, like, Vampirina or Fancy Nancy. And it's like, of course I don't give a shit about it. But I'm like, that's a fucking, that's cool animation. Or that's fucking cute. Right. Or whatever.
Are you the type of kids who will watch the same thing over and over?
Oh, my God. And
That's most kids, I think, in general.
But. Right now, it is the show called Bluey. That's on Disney Plus, but it's produced by the BBC. It's like New Zealand or Australia.
Okay.
But it's a cartoon about a family of like blue healers.
Okay.
And it is, so there's 50 episodes, but they're only like 7-minute episodes. And they've watched that entire series probably 10 fucking times. It's all they want.
Oh, wow.
But it's wonderful.
Oh, good.
I am thrilled that it is the thing that it is. I can't the dad on Bluey is fucking dad goals, man. Okay. Like the greatest dad you've ever seen.
Right.
And it's a really honest kids show. Like, it's not like preachy on its morals, kind of, or preachy is the wrong word. It's not
in your face.
Yeah, it's not as overt as say like a Daniel Tiger or a Fred Rogers.
Right.
But it's very much,
you're trying hard not to say Christian, aren't you? I'm kidding.
It's very much honest and kind of
right.
Like, but it's like teaching kids how to be like, I was playing a little too rough with you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. You need to learn how to use your words to explain to me that so that I can or just like general kindness and fun and like it is fucking delightful.
Oh, nice.
Which makes it easier that's like I'm glad they're getting information that they like, and like as a dad I like being like that's cool.
Right. When Noah was younger, Barney was huge. He didn't get into Barney. I was very grateful for that.
Sure.
But SpongeBob had just came out.
Oh.
And it really, back then, I'm like, it's a cartoon. It's on this. Let's watch SpongeBob. Like, I started kind of digging it. Like, then you're like watching. You're like, is this even for kids? Like, some of these themes are kind of, wait a second. This is adult, right? And he dug it for like the first couple of years and just kind of fell off. Didn't hate it. Didn't love it. Yeah. Noah was always, he never really got into the, for lack of a better word, educational type show. The Blues Clues and that. He didn't really... Didn't do anything. He couldn't hold his attention long enough. He would watch an episode and then done. Like, not, he's not the kid who's going to watch 5 in a row or watch one again type stuff. So, loved Austin Powers and South Park. So, take with it what you will. Deadpool 3. You heard any about this?
No.
It's happening. Story has been written. It's been agreed upon. I don't think they have a production date yet.
Okay.
But what they've released, Ryan Reynolds did a little small little teaser thing about, you know, it's coming out. And basically what people have gathered is it takes place during the snap. And that's kind of how, maybe how he gets introduced. You don't really know, but it takes place during the snap. So you might see a few people here or there that you recognize.
Okay.
To get him into the MCU. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Yeah.
I co-sign that.
I don't know the overall theme. It's going to be R. They did say for sure R.
Wow.
With a possible PG-13 version for Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Because Disney Plus is looking to add a PG-13 like adult
section. Well, so they have PG-13 stuff
they
on
do,
there.
Yeah.
You know, like there's, I mean, shit, at this point, half of the Star Wars movies are PG-13.
That's true. That's true.
Avatar's on there. That's PG-13.
That's
true.
Yeah.
But are any of the Marvel movies PG-13?
I'm pretty sure Endgame was. I think Endgame and Infinity Wars were both PG-13.
I'd buy that. They're pretty bloody.
Violent, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I can't be sure for sure. It wouldn't surprise me if majority of them were PG-13.
I don't know, man.
Just because of
that's pretty PG. Violence.
Maybe.
But even in the violence, you know, like, a lot of the violence is real stylized.
It is.
Like,
it's true.
Civil War, I could see being PG-13. I could see Winter Soldier even being PG-13.
Sure.
But I feel like the Thor movies, like, those gotta be PG.
You think Ragnarok was PG? That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Now I kind of want to have this pulled up and see.
But I thought, like, basically it takes place over Endgame and Infinity War and Endgame. So the idea behind that puts so much out there that you can do. And then I think they were taking the notion of, at the end of Deadpool 2, when he went back in time to correct the timeline, that's going to play into how he ends up in the MCU timeline. Like, he fucked up some other timelines. And when he comes back to his timeline, it's this.
Okay.
Don't know. You know, Deadpool is still always going to be a little bit on the outside, I think. I don't know if he'll ever be...
Sure. Well, I don't think...
I don't think he's going to be in an Avengers movie.
Right. And I don't think he should.
Agreed.
Even taking R-rating and everything... Taking R-rating and everything out of it, I think he makes more sense as... an offshoot outside character.
Agreed.
You know, like, because they're telling two different types of stories.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Oh, man. I wish I could... This is not as easy to find as you would think. There's not just a list of what they're all rated.
I was going to say, if I was smart, we'd just go to my cabinet over there and pull out all my Blu-rays and see what the fuck they're rated.
There fucking should be.
I would have to bet the majority... I say that now, but I don't know. I never paid attention. I didn't give a shit. I'm just going to watch it.
Right. But I bet they are.
I would almost bet PG-13 just because of violence.
I bet most of them are PG. I'm just going to start with.
I'm going to be down a bunch of Moranis bucks by the time this podcast is over.
I know, right? Well, the very first one's Iron Man, and that's PG-13.
Yeah.
So I might be effed. I might be effed in the A.
Effed in the A.
Yeah, I'm not going to dig through all
these. Yeah,
I'll do the homework later.
One other thing I wanted to throw out there before we get out of here. We got a little Survivor Series tonight. It is the 30th anniversary of The Undertaker's first appearance. So he's kind of retiring tonight. Yeah, he's wrapping it up. And it's supposed to be a little bit of a career. 30 years, man. Can you imagine? That's showing up.
That's almost my whole life.
Right.
I'll be 33 in 2 weeks.
Right. And that's just...
That is almost an entire adult life.
Right. And that's just WWE. That's, you know, he did a little bit before he came to that place. So he's been taking some shots for a while.
Wow.
It's a rough life.
What was it? Wasn't it on Instagram or something this year where, like, was it his daughter or his niece was dressed up as him for Halloween?
Yes.
And he was, like, posed with her?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's also adorable. They did, like, some commercial... Him as himself, kind of, with his wife and his daughter for, like, some app video game for wrestling. You know what I mean? And she was being the under... I don't know. Something like that, but yeah.
Isn't he like a real, like camo-wearing, like, country guy?
I think he's pretty... I don't want to say... Yeah, he's pretty country. He's pretty country.
And that's so funny, given his online persona.
Right. Well, it's funny. You know, I'm a huge wrestling nerd, so I read all the dumb wrestling stuff. But, So they're going to bring back some of his buddies tonight you know, no one huge, you know, some characters people would know, but they were called, this wasn't on screen, but their backstage, their group was the Boneyard Crew, right? You're like, oh, that sounds kind of rough. Like, what?
Because the Undertaker.
They all played fucking dominoes. It was a dominoes group, right? Yeah. But that's hilarious and wonderful all at the same time, right? I mean, come on. That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
That is wonderful.
I thought it was fun. So, yeah. Start at 6. I'll be doing some Survivor Series all night long, man.
Oh, man.
It's going to be good stuff.
What a treat.
It's going to be good stuff. It's going to be a good little night. Good little night.
All right. Well, that can be that's an A-OK.
That's a good place to end it.
End it.
All right, so, guys.
We'll catch you later.
Thank you.